The book of Philippians today, we are in chapter 1, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and the deacons. Paul was not a slave of sin. He was a slave of Jesus Christ. And there is no neutral ground when it comes to that issue, by the way. It is all or nothing. It is one or the other. At any given moment, we are either serving sin or we are serving Jesus as Christians. And notice that this book of the Bible was written to all the saints in Christ Jesus, along with the overseers and the deacons. So the Word of God was given to the common man, as well as to the leadership in the church. We are to study it. We are to understand it and apply it. Verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. People who have never repented of their sins, but say they have peace with God, do not know what they are talking about. If they would read the Word of God, they would know that they do not have peace with God. They are in trouble with God. If they read the Word of God, they would know that they must repent of their sins and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in order to be at peace with God. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. Unlike the churches in Corinth or Galatia, the letters we have already looked at, the church in Philippi made Paul happy when he thought about their solid walk with Christ and their support for him. It made him feel good. They were a true blessing to him. 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Remember, Paul was in prison when he wrote this book. He was in prison for his faith. And so, being in prison, he could not do everything that he wanted to do for Jesus because he was confined. However, we see from this verse that he did what he could. Just because he couldn't do everything he wanted didn't stop him from doing what he could, and that included praying. And we see here that Paul got joy from doing what he could do for Jesus. That kept him from becoming frustrated over what he could not do. Verse 5. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Talking about partnership, talking about Christian fellowship. It is in the gospel. Christian fellowship revolves around the Word of God. Christian fellowship involves talking about Jesus and talking about the Word of God. It is also about joining other Christians and doing the work of God and meeting together with them for worship. But Christian fellowship includes spiritual things, or else it's not Christian fellowship. 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. If God wants you to do something, he will give you what you need to do it. God does not uncall us after he calls us. Now, a person can choose not to do God's will if they want. But as long as someone does not turn their back on God and say, forget you, God will do what he set out to do in that person. Verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Now, the Philippians were not sinless. However, woven between their sins and woven between their mistakes was the fruit of the Holy Spirit, was the grace of God. And so Paul was sure that the Philippians would be okay in the end, that God would finish the good work He began in them, because there were strands of holiness woven through their lives. And that is the thing that assures us that we are right with God through Christ. Holiness. If not perfection, at least strands of holiness through our lives. Verse 8. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Paul loved to be with the Philippians because they enjoyed Christ like Paul did. Now, a Spirit-filled Christian is going to be pleasant to all people, but when given a choice, they will want to spend time with others who are devoted to Jesus Christ like they are. That's where they'll get the most joy. Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Paul prayed that their love would abound in knowledge and in depth of insight. And this is something that everybody needs to understand. Real love exists within the boundaries of God's Word. In other words, it exists within the boundaries of truth. If someone says, you don't love me because you will not do this or you will not do that, then check the this or the that out with Scripture. Because if the thing that they equate with love contradicts God's Word, they do not know what love is, and in fact you are loving not to do it for them. Verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. A lot of things are good, but good isn't good enough. A lot of things are good, but only one thing is best. And God wants us to discern what is best. Oh, I'm sure that God is pleased whenever we choose good over evil. But it is better to do what is best. And that's why it's important to pray for proper priorities. Since our works are going to be judged, it is important to make the most out of the time that God gives us. And part of that is choosing good over bad, better over good, and best over better. 11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Notice, the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus Christ. Righteous behavior in a Christian comes through Christ. In other words, we cannot stir it up in ourselves by our own power. It comes through Christ. This is how it comes. It is the natural byproduct of staying close to Jesus and thinking about Jesus. I used to bowl an awful lot when I was in high school and shortly after, and I always thought those little spots on the alley were just for decoration. I didn't know that there was such a thing called spot bowling, that you were to aim for those spots with your ball, which were a lot closer than the pins. But don't look at the pins, you look at the spots. And you aim for the spot, because if you hit the spot in the right place, then the pins will go. You don't aim at the target, you aim at the spots. And that's sort of the way it is for holiness in Christian. You don't aim at holiness. You don't aim at righteousness. You aim at Jesus. You think about Jesus. You draw closer to Him. The holiness will come. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Oh, you know, Satan, he must have just been thrilled to see Paul put in prison. He thought he won. When I shut that guy up, destroyed his ministry, not you. The devil did not win. Because even when he thinks he has won, he loses. God simply used Paul in prison. God will use the bad things that happen to us if we stay close to Him through those bad things. Bad things cannot stop us from being used by God. 13. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. You know, when people started talking about Paul the prisoner, they had to talk about Jesus as well, because Jesus was the reason Paul was in prison. And anytime someone starts talking about Christ, the Holy Spirit will be right there using the name of Jesus to convict souls. So even the fact that people were talking about Paul while he was in prison, God was even using that. 14. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. There was another good byproduct of Paul being in prison. You know, the Apostle Paul, he was sort of like a good leadoff hitter in baseball. He started rallies. He kindled fires in the souls of other Christians. His zeal and his willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ and to remain faithful through that suffering started a spiritual rally in the souls of other Christians. They saw how he suffered for Jesus, and they saw him persevere. All it takes is one Christian who decides that they're going to go full blast for Christ no matter what. All it takes is one Christian to kindle a fire in the souls of other Christians around them. 15. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. Now there were some who called themselves Christians who envied Paul. They envied Paul's gifts and, I suppose, his position as an apostle and his usefulness to Christ. And now that he was in prison, some of these people, they thought, well, this is our opportunity to get a bigger following for ourselves. And so we see that even back then, there were some who looked at the ministry as if it was a career, a way to advance your own popularity or something, your own fame. And people were taking advantage of Paul's imprisonment to do that. 16, the latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. So, in contrast to those who preach Christ to make a name for themselves, you have the Apostle Paul. He didn't care who preached Christ, as long as Jesus was being proclaimed. And we see from that Paul was in prison, but his desires were not locked up. His desires were going forward. Jesus was being preached. People were preaching Christ, and that's the thing that made Paul happy. Didn't matter that he was in prison. His desires were being fulfilled. They were not locked up. And so he says in verse 17, the former preached Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. And so some people who called themselves Christians, they were using Paul's imprisonment as a way to move up some supposed religious ladder. And they may have said stuff like, well, you know, Paul's day is over. That's why God has him in prison, but I'm still here. And you know what? I'm here to pick up the slack. I'm Paul's replacement, so you follow me. They were doing that, taking advantage of Paul's imprisonment to elevate themselves. And I love Paul's focus through it all. He could have really become bitter, frustrated, but notice verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. That was the important thing to Paul. His own situation was not important. What he thought of himself was not important. What others thought of him was not important. That's why As I have said in the past, it was nearly impossible to offend the Apostle Paul because he didn't have a selfish agenda. You couldn't offend him because he didn't have an ego. He didn't have a self-focus. People get offended. Christians get offended so quickly sometimes. It's because they have such a self-focus instead of a Christ focus. He only cared about Christ. If Jesus was being lifted up, Paul was happy no matter what. And another thing, the Apostle Paul was not like some today who are always trying to find themselves. You ever hear that? Oh, I'm trying to find myself. Even Christians, I'm trying to find myself. Why? Why are you trying to find yourself? What do you expect to find? Paul lost himself when he found Christ. He found his identity in Jesus, not in himself. He wasn't looking for self-worth. He was focused on Christ. 19. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. The prayers of the Philippians prayed for Paul would either get Paul out of this mess that he was in, get him out of prison, or sustain him through it, one or the other, whatever route God would choose. And so the apostle had no idea really how things would turn out, but if the people were praying for him, then they would turn out God's way, and whatever that was, he could live with it. 20. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death. And his situation was lousy. Anyone can talk about how good God is and talk about their faith in God when things are going well. But it takes real faith and a real love for God to do that when times are tough. And Paul's biggest concern is that he does not dishonor God. Whether his situation gets worse or better, he just doesn't want to dishonor God. 21. For me to live is Christ. Stop there for a second. From the moment that the apostle learned that Jesus was the Son of God and believed that Jesus was God and that he died to pay for our sins, from that moment on, his attitude was, Jesus, everything I have is yours. My time is yours. My wealth is yours. Everything is yours. I'm all yours. Do whatever you want to do with me. My will does not count. My will is not as important. Not important. Your will is the only thing that matters. You know what? That is what it means to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior today. Verse 21 again. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Because Jesus was Paul's Lord in truth, not word only, his death is something that he looked forward to. Many Christians fear death, even though there is no reason to fear death for them. But many do fear death, and I think it's because of the unknown. We've never done it before. Well, I'm sure there'll be surprises. But I also know that for the one who has made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior in this life, yes, there will be surprises, but the surprises will all be good ones. 22. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. Paul wanted to go to heaven because, you know what? He had been there. And I think, it doesn't say exactly when he went there, but one day he was stoned and left dead. And God miraculously raised him up. You can read about it in the book of Acts. And that may have been the time where he was caught up to heaven. And he saw wonderful things up there. So he knew how good it was. And he couldn't wait to get there. However, he also knew that more time here on earth would mean more time to do things for Jesus Christ. And so, even if it was in his control, which it wasn't, he wouldn't know which one to choose. Both are good. Verse 23. Actually, one is better. It says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. He wanted to die and be with Jesus. Which goes to show this doctrine of soul sleep that some people adhere to is not biblical. Some people teach that our souls go to sleep, that we just black out after we die until whatever, resurrection day. Just as our bodies sleep in a grave, our souls sleep in a grave as well. Paul did not say, I desire to die and black out until resurrection day. That would contradict the rest of Scripture. He couldn't wait to see Christ. He couldn't wait to get to heaven. And he knew that that would happen as soon as he departed from this life. 24. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Paul says, I would like to go to heaven. But I really cannot, because you Philippians need me too much. Sometimes the pleasant things that we would like to do must be put on hold for the good of others. And sometimes the things that we want to do that we know we would enjoy need to be put on hold or just refused because of our devotion to Jesus Christ. 25. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Notice that as the Philippians grow in their faith, their joy will increase as well. There are good things in this world to enjoy, no doubt about it. But joy that will really stick with you and really change you from the inside out comes from learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God. There is no joy that even comes close to the joy that one receives from being close to Jesus Christ. 26. So that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. When the Philippians see Paul, they're going to say, Paul, how did you ever get out of that mess that you were in? How did you ever get out of that hopeless situation that you were in? They're going to say, we thought that you would be executed for sure. We thought that you would either be executed or you would rot in jail for sure. And so they're going to praise God because they will know that he did it. There's no other explanation. And so, sometimes, it takes a narrow escape for Christians to really appreciate God again, like they used to, or like never before.